Today it's going to be a little different service. Oh, I better let you down. I've blocked the only gate out today.
It's the narrow gate. The narrow path.
So we're going to take a Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. If you don't have your elements, raise your hand and Cynthia will bring them to you. If you're watching on Zoom, then you can go ahead and prepare that. Is Jake online? Okay. I failed last week. I told Jake, you stay online because after service we're going to pray for you. Well, guess what I forgot to do? We forgot to pray for Jake. And so I said, well, let's do it this week, if I remember. And if I'd... And so we're going to do it now.
Sweet.
Because if I wait till after service, it may slip my mind again. So we're going to do it now. Jake has had some difficulties. He's got something going on with his blood. It's similar to leukemia, but it's not quite that. And so so we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray for Jake. And if you want to pray for Jake, I'm going to ask you to come and stand behind the microphone so that people can hear us praying and that Jake can hear you praying as well. The Lord has done some marvelous things here. We are known as the Healing Church in a lot of areas in our community. And so that's a gift that the Lord has given us, and we want to pray that for Jake. And in a few moments, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And part of that, Scripture says, it's by His stripes we are healed. And so Jake has sought his heart. You know, James chapter 5, it says to pray for those who are sick that they may be healed. Also, he says to share your faults one with another that you may be healed. So there's an indication there and in other places in Scripture that there could possibly be sin that causes disease. And so Jake says, I've searched my heart. The Lord's not revealing anything. And I'm of the belief that if there's anything there, God will show you. Okay?
Thank you, Pastor.
So I'm believing that there's nothing there or God would have shown him. And so we as a church can pray in faith knowing that Jake's going to be healed. Okay?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to be first. And if you want to pray for Jake, why don't you come and join me at this time? Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I just want to thank you for Jake, and I thank you for Betty, and I thank you for their faithfulness to you. And Lord, I thank you that you said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added unto you.
Yes.
Lord, one of the things that Jake does is he seeks your righteousness. And Lord, he wants to walk with you. He wants to be all that you have created him to be.
Yes.
So Lord, because of that, we declare to the heavenlies. Scripture says that the church will make itself known to those who are in heavenly places, to the dominions, to the principalities. And we say to the dominions and the principalities that Jake is not under your control, it's under Christ's control. And we say to the heavenlies that he is healed in the name of Jesus. And God, we just declare because of your word that by your stripes we're healed, that he is healed. We declare by your word that you said that your sins are forgiven, your sins and your diseases are healed, and we proclaim that in the precious name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for your divine healing on Jake's life, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Lord God, I just pray for wisdom for every doctor, every nurse, every x-ray, every test that gets done, that your touch will be on it, Lord God. That you will have an opportunity, that Jake and Betty will have an opportunity to minister to all those around them.
Yes, Lord.
I feel We're praying for Jake's healing, but I want to pray for Betty. That fear and anxiety will be gone in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
That she will be filled with hope, filled with comfort, and filled with strength.
Yes,
to do things around the house, to do things for her husband, to be able to be held up and sustained during this. That you give her overwhelming comfort, because you, Lord, are the comfort of all comforts, Lord. Just praise you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen.
Sorry. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray healing over Jake. Yes. And also, you said that you would leave your peace here. Jesus, you said that you leave your peace, not a peace of this world. And so we come before you to ask you to place that peace over Jake and Betty, to squeeze their hands, to let them know that you are with them. For you said you will always be with us until the ending of the age.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ask you to please be with Jake and Betty. And we also pray, Lord, for healing over Jake.
Thank you, Lord.
We know that you did not let him be lost. You found your sheep. You brought him home. Not to the permanent home, but home here. We ask you to please be with your servant now. Please place your healing hands on him. Your word is law in this world.
Thank you, Lord.
And just Lord, by your own word and your law, cast out whatever is going on.
Yes.
Jake, whole again.
Amen.
We pray this over Jake in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Matt said the words that I was thinking about. Ever since I've known Jake, everything he loves is the Word. He loves the Word. He loves to study the Word. He loves to live by the Word. And I just agree with my brother Matt. May the Word, which became flesh, dwell in him right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, Lord. And Lord, you died on the cross for our sins, and we just thank you for that. But Lord, you said before you died for us, you said you'd send your Holy Spirit and do more miracles on earth than what you did. And Lord, I believe that.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I just want to lift up Jake to you. And Lord, I just want to thank you for healing him right now. But Lord, I just pray that anything that's not of you has to flee off of him right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we claim that.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, it's in your word, John 14:14. It says, hey, to ask anything in my name that you'll do it.
Yes.
And Lord, in Philippians 4:6-7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and with thanksgiving, make your request known under God. And Jesus, the peace of God will come up, will be upon you. And give you peace, and we just thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just stand on that, and Lord, we will continue to pray for Jake, we will continue to pray for healing, and when we thank you for the healing, and Lord, I just I'm believing.
Thank you, Lord.
That you've just healed Jake right now,
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give you the praise, and we'll just give you the praise and the glory for it, and the testimony that he'll have because of this.
Yes.
Thank you,
Lord.
We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And it said that Jesus' name is above all names.
Yeah.
And Lord, that's where you're going to do this for us. And we just thank you for his testimony in Jesus'
thank
name.
You,
thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers.
So we're going to take the Lord's Supper. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he met with his disciples, and he made a new covenant with them. He said that you no longer have to live by the old covenant. I'm making a new covenant with you. And Jesus is that new covenant. Today is Blessing Sunday, and there will be many of you who will be coming and sharing your most wonderful blessing of the year. There will be those perhaps online that's viewing us through Zoom who would want to share their blessing as well, and we're going to give you opportunity to do that. Let Paul know that you want to share your blessing by, I don't know how you're going to let him know, but Paul will figure it out and let you know. And just let him know, and we will let you, we will unmute you, and you can share your blessing with the church. Okay. So the, okay. All right. So two so far want to share? Just one. Okay. So we're going to give you opportunity to share as well as you here this morning. The greatest gift that God gave us was Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I came to shed my blood for you. Scripture says that by my stripes, you were healed. And so for Jake and those of you who are have some physical infirmities, God wants to touch your life today. And so, Lord, I come before you and just thank you for the bread. Thank you for your body that was broken for us. It wasn't broken for yourself. It was broken for us. What a marvelous thing. Or that you did not even have yourself in mind when you did all of this. You had us in mind. And so, Lord, we give you thanksgiving for the body that was broken for us. And so we receive this and ask your blessings upon it as we did. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus held forth the cup. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for shedding your blood, for giving your life for us, for taking away our sin. And Lord, that when you look at us, you don't see sin. You see us righteous. You see us purified. You see us holy. So, Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we receive the cup. Lord, as we do so, we ask that whatever we may face in the future, that we would be able to make whatever sacrifices are necessary to follow you completely. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask if you have a testimony, something. If you want to share your greatest blessing of the year, if you will just, if you're in the back, if you would move closer to the front so that we don't spend a lot of time moving around, okay? So how many of you have a testimony that you want to share? One, two, three, four.
Got two on Zoom.
And two on Zoom, five, six, seven. Okay. So what we're going to do, we'll have a couple here in the sanctuary, then we're going to have one on Zoom, we'll have a couple more, we'll have another one on Zoom, and do it that way. So did you have your hand raised, Renee? Okay. All right. So, Bob, why don't you come and share first?
Good morning. All right. Well, I didn't have a sermon. I just asked God, what would it be? What would be that one blessing? And he gave me a picture. Gave me a picture of a kitchen. And in the kitchen was a table and a chair. And sitting at the chair was this absolutely adorable little 16-year-old girl. And on the table, bowl of popcorn and Kool-Aid. And I always said that was the hook. The popcorn and the Kool-Aid got me.
And the Lord said, I know you just celebrated a 58th wedding anniversary. You've been missionaries. You've had kids and everything. But this is your grace blessing, that you've got to spend 60 years of your life. She was 16. I was 18. And I love you, and I thank you for it.
Well, my greatest blessing this year is all of you guys. I was brought to the lowest point that I've been my entire life. I was accused of some things, and I was thrown in jail for some horrible accusations, and it has brought me to the greatest point that I've been in years. So I just want to thank all of you with your grace and your hope and your kind words and your opportunities and just everything in your Bible studies that, I mean, fill me up at the beginning of the week, and our meetings that we have that carry me through to today, and then I get to meet all of you guys and just fill my holy cup and keep me where I need to be in life. So I thank all of you guys.
Amen.
She doesn't want to be on. She,
okay.
As a matter of fact, she doesn't have a mic, so she wanted me to share it.
Oh, okay.
Let me bring it back up here. Sandy West says, I thank the Lord for this family of mine and the pastor. Through the years, you guys have helped me when I couldn't help myself. I give praise to the Lord to tell me. I give praise. The Lord told me to go to the church. Thank you very much for opening up your heart.
So I gotta say again two things. Same as this morning, for those of you who had to go through it once, I'm sorry. But the first one is, I'm just thankful for this family. Sorry, this was not made for Sasquatches. It's good. If it helps, I can get down and kneel. But so for those of you who didn't hear the story from the first one, when Monica and the kids first moved over, we were trying to find a church to go to. And I was going through Google trying to find a place, and this one popped up, and it just felt right. And I told Monica, well, we're going to go try this one. And she asked why. And I said, well, it doesn't look like it's denominational. And second, they have late service, because at the time we would sleep in late in the mornings. The crack of noon was like a good time for us. But we came here and we really liked it. It felt truly like home. And it was. And we did try, we went to First Christian, and it was kind of like, you know, it was a good sermon, but there was just something was off with it. And we tried another place, and I won't mention where it was, but they did the rolling in the aisles healing. And the looks on Ashley's and Jordan's and Destiny's faces when they saw that, they did think that was the initiation, that they had to do it too. And I had to explain to them it wasn't, and not to worry about it. So it was decided then that we wouldn't go back there again. And I'm not trying to talk bad. It was just, I'll never forget the looks on their face. That's what I'm saying. But then we decided to come back here a second time, and definitely after this time, it was, this is home. And it's been that way ever since, and I thank you guys for that. And the second thing is that for those of you who don't know the whole story, I'm not going to go into it, but Monica and I were divorced last year, and I had been praying. So when I work in the woods, and it's awesome to be out there because you can pray and you can truly feel like you're connected to God. And Jesus, if you remember in the Bible, he always goes up on high to pray. He always says he went up on high to pray. He went up on high to pray. And there is something about that. And talking with Mike, it's, you have these places that are just peaceful where all distractions are removed, that you truly do feel like God is literally like right there. You are almost face to face with him. And anyways, I've always been praying to God all that time to please bring me a good woman who would be a great wife, one that would just push me to be better in my walk than I was, one that I could lift up in her walk, one that she would love me and I'd love her, and on and on and on. And it was in July, and this one time I prayed it, God said, what if it was Monica? And I said, Lord, how could it be? And he said, I have the power to change people's hearts. I can harden them and I can soften them. And I did 2 days of really hard, hard soul searching. And I said, on the second day I prayed, I said, Lord, no. Nope, because I can't trust her. But God likes to show me how wrong I am in a lot of things. I know he takes delight in it. And he was right. I was wrong. And I never understood, nor could even fathom what that would be like. And I just admit that I was completely wrong about all of it. And I am just so thankful that he loved me enough to prove me wrong. And actually, I thank him all the time for that too. So anyways, that's what I'm most thankful for. Oh, yeah. that's twice. What's an anniversary? I explained this morning in the first one, Matt, English no good, bad. Yes, I'd rather have a club beating something. But so Monica and I are going to be married on the 12th of December at 2:00. If you'd like to join, it's open. We'll have cake and we'll have some food, hopefully, assuming the COVID doesn't get worse. So.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Hey, there you are. Well, I just want you to know that I was here earlier when you prayed for me and for Betty, and I thank you so much for your prayers. And this year, there's been a lot of blessings come our way. I've been studying a lot about the authority of the believer in the Word of God and in Jesus' name. And I thank you for praying in his name for Betty and I. And I would say to Sasquatch, if you are a believer, then God even would hear your prayer. So that's great. Thank you, Sasquatch. Matthew Scott Sasquatch, I guess. So I thank y'all. And my excitement is that I look forward to coming back to church and bringing a good report. I just know that God has healed me. I look forward to the doctors saying that I am healed. That would just be such an evidence for the glory of God and the strength of God in our lives today, and that he is still a miracle working God. And we just can't say enough about the wonderful things of God and what he does for us. He cares for every little thing that we have going on. And so I would thank the Lord for Jesus. I thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for Life Change Church, especially peace. For Pastor.
Peace, peace.
And I want you to know that we are at peace with what's going on because we have full belief in that God is with us and working with us through this. So but thank you all so much. We look forward to the day when we can all get back together again. God bless you all. Thank you.
Right there? Okay. All right. I have so much to be thankful for. I've had my niece and her fiance and her three little kids living with me for a year, trying to find a place to live that they could afford, and it just has not happened. Well, I've done a lot of praying. I mean, a lot of praying. And I talked to the pastor, and we talked things out. We made an arrangement where they're going to be with me until the day I die. They're going to stay with me. They pay me rent, so it helps me pay my bills. And it's been a blessing. I don't want to be alone anymore. I've had them for a year, and I just can't. Oh, the thought of being alone is horrid. I came to this church 11 years ago, and I'd just gone and become a widow. And I did a lot of changes in these 11 years, and I've grown tremendously, and I love this church. And the people in it have always been very supportive and loving and caring. And I've always felt at home here. And I know God sent me here because I didn't have to go and search for a church. My son-in-law had gone here and got baptized here. And he said, that's a very good church. And I said, I'm going to try it. So I did. And I've been here ever since because it is a fit. It's a fit for me. I love children. I adore my children. And I've always wanted to work with children. I did Good News Club for 3 years and 2 years and then come back for another year. And because both my great nieces were in Good News Club and I wanted to encourage them to learn more about God and Jesus. And they've done wonderful. They've been wonderful. I have a lot of family here too. I have a son and a daughter and about 6 grandkids. And I mean, you know, but they're all growing up, you know. My grandkids just, my 2 youngest twins just turned 20, so they've got their own lives and stuff. But I know God brought me here, and he had these plans for me. It just shows you don't know what lies ahead. I thought I was so desperate after losing my husband, and I didn't think I'd ever be happy again, but I am. I'm happy. I'm happy here. I'm happy with my family. I'm happy with the kids, and my greatest joy will be when my niece joins us. I have been working on, and she's very, very willing to let her children come. In fact, the youngest one said, we haven't been there for a couple of weeks. I really want to go learn more about God and Jesus. 5 years old. So it's getting through to them, and I know that. That's why I love Good News Club, because you could see it. They grow. They grow, and you hear them. You know, I mean, they need to know there's something more out there. This has been a heck of a year. I wouldn't have made it through without all this love around me. Every day I'm surrounded with love. And little ones, there's a little 2-year-old too, by the way. Yeah, and we have another baby coming in February, so a little boy. After 3 girls, she gets to have a little boy. So we're all excited. And the little 2-year-old talks to mommy's tummy and tells the little brother that she loves him. This is the joy that God has given me. Like I said, you never dreamed that, you know, things could turn around and you'd be so happy again. I'm very happy. And I have been blessed. I thank the Lord every day for all my many, many, many blessings. I don't know that I deserve it, but I sure enjoy it, you know. Anyway, I want to keep bringing children to church and stuff because I think that's the most valuable thing in the world. They need to know there's something more than just this, you know. And that's my heart. That's my heart. Anyway, thank you.
did it. You did it without notes that time, Cheryl. Good job.
Paul has a note.
Oh, one more. Okay, let's go ahead and bring that one in.
Yes. Is it unmuted? Okay. Randy and Christy Shepherd asked me to share this. They said, "We are thankful to find life change. It has been a while since we have been in a church that feels like home. We are grateful for Pastor Brad and Cynthia and the family at Life Change."
Anyway, when Pam and I got married, I've always was raised in a church, and my folks got me God's principles. And we were given $2 a week to the church, and Pam started teaching school, so we started giving $4 a week to the church. And my mother found out, and she come unloose. She says, "That's way, way too much money." So Pam and I, we didn't know anything about tithing. So we went back to $2 a week, but we could tell the difference. I mean, it was the difference between day and night, wasn't it, honey? And so we went back to $4 a week, but I don't know. I don't think we told our mother, my mother. My mother was very domineering. Anyway, later in life, and we weren't saved, and everything, we got saved, and then we heard about tithing. So we started tithing what we thought, 10%. Tied what we thought was 10%, and then, that year I did so well that I doubled it, and then I doubled it again, and then, that's a lot of money. But I really think, and I didn't say this earlier, I really think you want to tithe on how much money you want to make in a year. It's not how much money you make at any job, it's the blessings that come. There's all kinds of ways to get blessings, and blessings come, and God wants to bless us. But, we have to have our, first of all, we got to have a heart right. And and this week, sometimes, you want to give money away, but you don't really want to give money away. You know what I'm saying? But you need to be obedient. And Pam and I were praying about it, and we give some money to something. And it wasn't 15 minutes later that somebody called up and wanted to get 150 dozen eggs from me a week. And that's huge. I've never had anybody call me up and want 150 dozen eggs a week. That's a blessing, and it was the Lord. But that just shows that if we have our heart right and we give when the Lord is asking us to, that the blessings do come. And, I've been reading in Daniel lately, and I love the book of Daniel because, there's just so many great miracles in the book of Daniel. He got thrown in the lion's den but he puts his faith in God. And in Daniel, he keeps being called to kings to answer their dreams, and every time that he's called, he just doesn't answer the dream. He always seeks the Lord first, okay? And when you seek the Lord first, he's going to give us the knowledge and wisdom that we need to answer what we're called to do. And my own life, I don't always do that, but when I don't do that, I fail, And it's a growing thing, and we, Pastor knows I'm not perfect, but Pastor's not perfect either, But we need to, we need to pray for our friends or whatever relationships, and seek the Lord first, and things are going to turn out good. So anyway, amen.
Okay,
Pam, would you like to share, please?
Thank you. Okay, I think I'm talking into it, Paul. Okay, you all know that Larry and I got married, so that was, we met at Oregon State, and 3 years later we were married. And a little bit later, our first son was born. When he was 4 months old, we were walking out the door to go look at the heifers on the property where we live now. And my father called and said, your mom just committed suicide. And my life went from normal to really drastically changed, but I didn't know what to do with it. And there was no one who offered to help. There was no Pastor Brad that I knew. And our pastor didn't know what to do, and I don't blame him. I didn't either. So you stuff things down inside when you don't know what to do with them, and that's what I did. So walking through life, life got good. We had three children, and we were working on the dairy, and we were busy. So you don't think about your stuff. But when things came, I didn't know how to deal with them, so more got stuffed down. Fast forward 20 years later, the twins graduated high school, and they were really active. We were very involved in their lives. And when they left, one to California, well, one to North Dakota and one to California, the same within a month, all of a sudden, the mom role that I had just went away. You can be a mom, but it's not the same kind of relationship. So I felt a bit of loss there. Then our business grew and got busier, and I spent a lot of time doing book work, which isn't, it's fun, but not that much of it. I didn't really enjoy it that well. So more stuffing of things, you know. Anyway, after a while, though, that stuffing doesn't work. But I forgot to go back to the suicide thing, and I do need to say this, because God told me I was supposed to share, and he said I need to talk about the depression. Not that it's a jolly subject, but it is real. Suicide isn't the answer. I mean, it may be in someone's mind the answer, but what it does is it really affects the family left behind. Friends, family, other people. We're left with a great big hole, and that hole doesn't get filled just by anything. So that, I forgot to share that earlier, I'm sorry. So anyway, the stuffing was just coming out like Mount St. Helens. Sadness and sorrow were more than I could handle, and during that time I read the Bible and prayed, but it didn't seem like it worked. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a place where what you know to do, you do, but it doesn't work. I didn't know enough tools. I only knew what seemed to make sense. So about 25 years after I lost my mom, I was in a pretty desperate place, and I'd say probably there was one day that I would probably have been suicidal. It really scared me. My sister, who's a psychiatric social worker, I called her and I said, I don't know what to do. She was scared because I'd pulled all the blinds and I'd locked all the doors and I didn't want anybody anywhere near me. And I found a phone book from Portland and found Christian Counseling Centers of Oregon. And I called them and I said, I need to talk to a woman and I need one that's gentle. I mean, some people can be firm and they're the ones you need when you're in a place being bad, but I wasn't bad. I was really wounded, I guess. So anyway, Norma was very helpful. Driving to Portland by myself when the traffic is bad isn't the easiest thing to do when you're in a shaky place, but I made it through that. And a few years, I suppose it was a couple of years later, we got involved, Larry and I, in Marriage Ministries International, and we became leaders in that. First, we went several times because we needed it. The classes were really amazing. We learned about life patterns and forgiveness and sowing and reaping, and that's only just a touch of what it was, but it was life-changing. And the more involved we were, the more times we went through it or led the class, the more healing we received. Still had, you know, life got much better, and we were walking in the same direction as husband and wife. Before, we were kind of, I went my way, he went his way. I had the kids, he had the cows. It, It wasn't exactly that way, but it was a little bit. I mean, you're kind of married to cows, I'm sorry to say. But after a while, we met Pastor Brad, and he was instrumental in helping break off a lot of things that we needed help in areas of bondage in our lives. And I learned how to deal with depression. I had been on medication for a period of time. The counselor said, you need it. You're in a place you can't do it without. And I thought, Christians don't do that, but I had to. And I'm glad now that I did, but what it did was numb me. It didn't really take away the problems or the pain, but it helped me just not be too whatever. So there was a time when I knew that the Lord said, you don't need it anymore, the medication. I'd prayed. I'd been on it for quite a while. And when, at that time, Pastor said, when you feel the highs, you'll feel more highs, but you'll feel more lows. The lows will be more obvious. So when the lows came, we had conversation. We met with Pastor, and we broke off things and took care of other things. So I learned that if I was in the Word every day and in prayer, and I stayed as active as I could, I was really, a lot more active. Kristen can remember I was in aerobics with her, and she thought I was tough. And I pretty much was. But, so that was one of the ways, besides the Word and fellowship and whatever. And I know that I had to learn to have to transform my mind, because I used to be kind of a negative thinking person. And when all you do is think the negative way, you just kind of stay in a bad place. So I retrained my thoughts. It wasn't an easy thing, but it was really effective. And I think of Philippians 4:8, when we think on the fine good things and see the good things in other people and dwell on that and think of that, God will help us get out of a bad place. So all those things made my life go really smoothly, and I was going well along well. And it isn't always going to stay that way, even though you think it is. We discovered that I had a tumor on my spine, and when it came out of surgery, I was paralyzed in the left leg, so I couldn't walk. It was really an interesting thing. There were tools they have in the hospital to help you get from the bed to the bathroom, and there are interesting things I'd never imagined were there. I learned about wheelchairs. I went to rehab, and I learned that there are people who live in wheelchairs, and that's how they live their whole lives. And it makes you realize what God has done for you when you can walk. We don't realize how blessed we are when we can walk. But I came home with a walker and a brace and had to buy special shoes because my shoes didn't fit over that brace. But I'm able to walk now. But because of that, I woke up and I had a lot of pain in this right hip, which I'd never had before. Through the process of 2+ years, it seemed like no matter what I did, there still was pain in this hip. And one day Larry said, you waited a long time. We didn't know how, you can't find a tumor. It takes an MRI to find a tumor. You just know something's wrong. You just don't know what it is. So I would say, don't wait. If you got things going wrong, don't wait. I probably waited too long. I could have been fully paralyzed, he said, if I'd waited much longer. Mm-hmm. So I know God was there in that. But Larry kind of got after me. He said, you waited probably a little while on that tumor. Maybe you need to go see a doctor about your hip. So I did. And you go through a process. So I get to the doctor. He gives me a cortisone shot where he thinks it was. And then sent me to physical therapy. And I would have to say, for the first time in a long time, I don't have any pain in my hip. I've been able to walk several miles a day for the last 3 days. Yesterday, we were in the valley, and I took long strides, and I walked fast. And I haven't done that in a long time. So I know. Well, it was bursitis, but it was awful. There were times it was horrible, and Nick can testify. I walked like a cripple sometimes. But God, sometimes it is God that's going to instantly heal you, and sometimes you have to go through a whole lot of steps, and this has been a long process. But the amazing thing is, even in that time after the surgery, when I felt pretty hopeless at times, I give up, You know, I mean, I wasn't, but I could have gone into depression, but thank God I did not. But when exercise is part of the solution and you can't exercise, that's kind of tough. So I had to find other ways, and it was really through seeking God that I found them. Anyway, what I need to say most of all is how thankful I am for all those of you who were praying for me and those of you who helped in other ways and visited and were there the day of surgery and came to visit many times. Thank you. God bless you guys. And I just, this is a lovely church, but if you ever need to talk about depression, I'm here and I understand. So please don't be afraid.
Is there anyone else? Justin.
I don't usually like to get up and talk in front of everybody, but he just asked what we were most thankful for this year. And
don't be afraid.
Okay. Right away, I thought of my family. Obviously, I'm most thankful for them. But the boys were in a bad accident twice in the last year, and the vehicle was totaled, and they were all protected, no injuries. So just want to give praise and thanks to the Lord for that.
Thank you, Justin. Someone else?
Yeah, I'm going to share real quick.
Okay.
So, shared in the first service. Trying to remember what I shared. But mostly for this year, okay, just this year, couple of things. First of all, I'm thankful for this body. I've been getting short-term disability since September 17th. And I just want to say thank you to you guys and gals. We don't know who you are, but we know that some of you have given generously to us, and you have helped us immensely, not just financially, but with your prayers and with your friendship and the fellowship that we all have. It all has been an amazing blessing and encouragement to my wife and I and to Josiah. And we just want to thank the Lord for this body. We were called here dragging. There's grooves over Highway 6 going to Aurora. I did not want to come, but we knew we were supposed to come. And when you guys, now this is your fault because you guys said you wanted us. So if you'd have said no, we wouldn't have come. But so, you know, you get what you got. But no, I'm kidding. It's awesome. But I just want to say, when we took it, the Lord told me, the music, yes, go. Go and minister with music. But that's not why you're going, Tom. You're going because you're angrier than a hornet. And I got someone over there that's going to help you. And I told Pastor Brad, he told me I'm coming to get healed, and you're the guy. And he went, oh, great, another one. And so I just want to say that since 2006, I had colon cancer. I had to get 10 inches of my colon removed. Had to go through chemotherapy. I've never had a clean colonoscopy, okay? They've always had to remove something cancerous, precancerous, always. I've had like seven or eight of them, maybe nine. Could have been 14, but we'll just stop at seven. And anyway, so I went and met with Pastor Brad twice the first 2 years, once a year. And each time, it was the level of my anger vanished. Another one. So the third one, we were just meeting over music. Renee was working, so I was here, and we were talking, and ended up he got into my head again, and then the Holy Spirit came in. And I left that meeting going, I don't want to be angry anymore. I'm so tired of being angry. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was praising the Lord for it because he took it from me. That little head rush you get when you just you feel your fist clenching up and you just get angry, he took that desire for that away from me. And I want to say that I think my anger caused my colon cancer. I really do. And I could tell you all the details. We'll have coffee. Come over. We'll go somewhere. Well, we can't go anywhere now. Just come over to the house, and we'll talk about cancer and anger and what it did to me. I will share with anybody because I'm a firm believer. That is what happened to me. And when that anger left me, about 2 months later, I had another scope. And it was the first one since 2006. They found nothing. Nothing in me. I'm telling you, it was amazing. And I just want to encourage you, man. If you're angry, give that thing to the Lord and give it someone. Come to me. I'll send you to Pastor Brad, but I'll do what I can. But I do want to say one other thing, one other blessing that has been incredible. I didn't mention it last service because I got into a microphone head rush, and you forget stuff if you don't have notes. But my wife, since 2006, this poor woman has had to take care of me so many times. I lost part of my lung from cancer. I lost part of my colon from cancer. I did chemotherapy. And my wife has taken very good care of me. And right now, my knee's busted up. And guess what? Renee is taking really good care of me. She is the biggest blessing that God has ever given me, aside from my salvation, from me not being a dirtbag. Okay, maybe I'm a saved dirtbag, I don't know. But I'm not like I was. I am changed, and I just want to thank the Lord for my wife, who I love from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
I'm going to share a passage of Scripture with you. I'm not going to preach, just share a passage. It's found in Luke 6:38. There you go. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I just wanted to read that because many of you gave some out of your need, some out of your abundance. God sees what you give. And He doesn't forget. I've got other scriptures I could read to you, but I'm not going to. But there's a promise here. He says, give to those in need. And whatever you give, God will give back to you. Full measure. Pressed down. Shaken together, overflowing, shall God put into your bosom. Because the same measure that you give to others, God uses that measure to give to you. So if you give generously, God gives generously. If you give stingily, is that a word? If you're stingy, then God is stingy with you. And so I want to thank you, church, for your gracious giving. There will be many blessed by what you've done and God has placed. What time is it?
20 after.
20 after. So we're going to just close in prayer. And Brother Bob, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?